This fall, the Fantasy Sports Channel will make history
all over again
with even more live fantasy sports radio than anywhere on the planet. At least 12 hours of fantasy football, baseball, basketball, and hockey action each Monday through Friday. Plus more fantasy sports talk every Saturday and Sunday. More than 50 shows in all from the best fantasy sportscasters in the business.
Try getting that on your radio dial.
The Fantasy Sports Channel. Only on Blog Talk Radio.
It's a schedule you can bet on.
Arian Foster is back. Andre Johnson is out. It's week five. Jets, Patriots, the Lions are on. Here we go.
Hey,
hey,
I'm living in that 21st century, doing something mean to it. Do it better than anybody you ever seen. Do it strange from the haters, got a nice ring to it. I guess every superhero need the same music. No one man should have all that power. The clock ticking, I just count the hours. Stop tripping, I'm tripping off the power. The system broken.
One bleeds red, and one bleeds blue. Two friends, one heated rivalry. It's intense. It's no holds barred. It's game time.
Hey, let's go!
On Red versus Blue Sports Talk Radio, with your hosts, Scott Atkins and Michael Trent. Scott and Mike and their versatility bring new light to many topics in and out of the world of fantasy sports. Guests can reach the show by calling 347-324-5404. Red versus Blue Sports Talk Radio, where Planet Red and Big Blue Nation collide. Let's hope they're still friends afterwards. Here they are, Scott and Mike.
What up, Scott? How's
it going, man? Just got 1 hour, baby. Just got 1 hour. Your time is up. My time is now.
So, 4-0 going into week five action in the world of high stakes fantasy football. Hello, everybody, and welcome to another edition of Red versus Blue High Stakes Radio, wherever you may be. Thanks for making us part of your night. I'm Scott Atkins, team legacy in the world of high stakes fantasy football. And as always, I'm joined by the Big Blue co-host himself from Brandenburg, Kentucky, Michael Trent. Mike, I don't know. We didn't do a show last week. Did we get a chance to talk about the Louisville, Kentucky game, that whipping that the Cards put on the Cats?
No. What we're doing, we're talking about the fact that the bye week, the bye week is approaching us, and we need to really address that.
Yeah, I kind of figured that. 347-324-5404 is the number. This is the high stakes radio show in the world of high stakes fantasy football. Wherever you may be, thanks for making us part of your night. We are live from Indianapolis, Indiana, home of the 2012 Super Bowl. Thank God we have the NFL season for the next 10 years on lockdown. Our guest tonight is going to be Sean Fritz from DraftZone.com. They came up with a really innovative contest. The guys at DraftZone teamed up with the guys at the Fantasy Football Players Championship, Dave and Alex, and they came up with something really cool we're going to talk about tonight. It looks like a lot of fun. I played it last week. It was a free roll. Didn't win, but it was a lot of fun putting in the lineup. And for $50, you can get a chance and a seat at the World Championship, the Fantasy Football Players Championship next year. So really cool, Mike. We've been looking for something like this, something with a low stakes, that kind of a satellite entry, just like the World Series of Poker has. You know, a lot of guys can't afford that 10 grand to get in the World Series, so they play these little satellite tournaments, you know, $20 here, $50 here, $100 there, and then before you know it, they've got a seat at the World Series. Same thing here for $50. You get a seat in Las Vegas, or you could draft from home, but at least you're in the big dance, the big tourney, the Fantasy Football Players Championship.
Yeah, you know, Scott, I've been looking at it, and, you know, it's a real good combination with Draft Zone and FFPC to be able to do that. And, you know, I mean, what the heck? I mean, $50 to get a chance to for a main event seat, you almost have to do it whenever you can do it. But it's just it's a great combination. It's a great marriage. And, you know, I'm just looking forward to seeing how many guys move forward each week and get that seat. Because, you know, we've already seen one, and we'll see a couple more throughout the course of the year, and it's going to be a lot of fun.
Can you survive the bye weeks? That's what it's all about, is getting through the bye weeks in these head-to-head leagues. Obviously, points are important. Points will take a dip this week for obvious reasons with the teams being out. But I'll tell you what, we've got a lot of guys in the chat room here, the crew here at Red vs. Blue. Thank you for being on Red vs. Blue. Some of the best minds in the world of high-stakes fantasy football in our chat room every single Friday night, getting you prepared and ready for your who-do-I-start decisions. Who did you get in waivers? I know that's a wonder right now. The website was down earlier trying to get in to find out who we got in waivers in the FFPC. We do have the waivers that went through in the NFFC, so we got those. And a lot of these names, Mike, a lot of these guys are up there near the top like they are every year. Kimra's back at the top. Alex is back up there. Several good players, they're back up there every single year, right up there near the top. Dave Gerzak, a lot of the guys play every year. You look at their names, and there they are again, right up there at the top where they always are. And that's no coincidence, Mike.
No, it's not. You know, I'd like to know how Chance Froehlich's doing this year. You know, what about yourself, Scott? Break down your teams. You got off to a pretty hot start, and I'd like to hear about your teams real quick.
Well, hey, you know, we've got three entries in the high-stakes leagues, two FFPC, one NFFC. I've got a 4-0, a 3-1, and a 2-2. A heartbreaking loss this past Monday night. I don't think I've ever been through anything like it before. I know we've all done it before. We've all had close games. Nothing like this. I was going up against Farrell Elliott from the KFFSC, the Kentucky Fantasy Football State Championship. He also drafted in Vegas at my table in my League of 12, and I was up by 50-something points. Billy Wallace, you'll appreciate this. Code Cracker Rich, John Ducky, I haven't talked to any of you guys this week. Listen to this story. Up 50 points. He had LeGarrette Blount and Pierre Garçon. And just an incredible game from start to finish. No sour grapes here. An incredible win for Farrell. Down 50 points. Garçon gets the two long touchdowns. Blount finishes up with that long touchdown. And he's down by, after that touchdown, after the Blount touchdown, he's down by 0.1 points. Okay? 0.1 points. And he gets a carry, and he gets a yard. And so he's tied with me. This is the last drive of the game. I'm up 50 points. All right, and I'm down. Now it's all closed up. It's all tied up on the first carry of the last drive. He gains a yard. We're tied up, Mike. We go down to the decimal in the high-stakes leagues, the FFPC, the FFC. You go down to the decimal, okay? A lot of the local leagues, you don't do that, but in the high-stakes world, that's what you do. So I'm tied. I'm like, oh my gosh, what's going to happen now? This game is going to end in a tie, or is Blount going to get another carry? The next carry he gets, he loses a yard, so I'm back up by a tenth of a point. It's third down. This is a high-stakes FFPC league. I mean, it's all on the line. You're rooting for everything you can get. You're scraping and clawing. And third down comes. Blount gets his 3 yards, and the rest is history. Farrell wins by 0.2 points. No stat changes all week from Elias. I looked for him all week. I was waiting for him. I'm like, man, can I get a stat change? But kudos to him. Great win. That's a great feeling. I was texting all throughout the game, you know, trying to make the comeback. It was just one of those nail biters, man. And, you know, I had three games on the line that night. I really only felt like I had two, you know, up 50. You don't think, you think that was in the bag. Matter of fact, I think I described it as in the bag. Don't ever do that. We know by now, don't ever take it for granted that you got the W, because something like that can happen. I had another league, Mike, you'll appreciate this. I had another league where I had Connor Barth, the kicker for the Bucks, right? And I need 3.5 points. I just need 3.5 points. I'm like, I'll surely get that, won't I? I mean, three touchdowns. If they got three touchdowns, that might be 21, you know, 10 or something. I might not get it. But he kicks a field goal in the first quarter. It was like a 40-yarder. And and it dinks off the crossbar or the upright. I'm like, oh, gosh. Then at the end of the first half, he kicks one. It's good. I'm like, oh, man, thank God it is over. And, you know, I'm sitting here in Indianapolis, and I've got a house full of Colts fans. They all got their Colts jerseys on. I'm like, look, I just got to root for a couple of things to happen. As soon as that's over with, I'll put the Colts jersey on. I'll go upstairs and do it. So they're all giving me hell. And then, you know, I don't know if you saw, but the second quarter happens. At the end of the half, he kicks the field goal. It's good. I'm walking out to the garage.
It doesn't happen after half.
Yeah, and then they called it back on penalty, and they wiped it off. I'm like, man, this is destined not to happen. But, you know, he did get his field goal and his extra points there in the second half. But still, it was a good game. Then the
other
game,
you know, it was funny, Scott, that same game, I'm sitting there, you know, I'm down in the Kentucky League. I'm down 17 points, and I'm going, man, I have to have Mike Williams to do something. And, you know, they started looking at him. And then I was like, hold on here. I got the Tampa Bay defense. And right at the very last, they created a couple fumbles, a couple sacks that ended up getting us a win. But it's weird how those things work out. They can come down to the last minute of Monday night.
Yeah, well, games can come down. It's a lot of fun. And look, you can't take these things. You got to let them roll right off your back. You can't feed that energy or feed that beast or give it any kind of power. You can't think to yourself that this always happens to me or it's gonna happen. I know I'm not going to get it. You can't think like that. You've got to just roll, have fun, concentrate on the game, watch the game. Don't go out and, you know, drink a beer, smoke a cigarette until you get your points. You got to get your points. If you're not focused on it, somebody else is going to be, and you're not going to get it. And so you got to pay attention. That's the law of the universe.
And another thing, Scott, I mean, how many times have you sat there and watched a game over and over again going, man, I got screwed on that. But, you know, it's funny because we always think about how many times we got screwed on something, but we always forget that the times that we won on something, the wins that you have at Monday night at 11:30 Eastern time, 11:15 Eastern time. You know, we forget about those points that mattered. So, you know, it's just a fun thing that makes it all worthwhile.
All right, let's talk about waivers real quick. Who are we all going after? We were going after Ryan Terrain. We were going after Jacoby Jones, maybe a Kevin Walter. You know, the funny thing is, I did my NFFC waivers last week, and this is the kind of bid you have to kind of throw out there. You got to look for upside, right? And so I'm looking through the waivers, and I'm like, what's a guy that has, like, real good upside with an injury? You know, I don't want somebody that's just going to sit on my bench and contribute. I want somebody with some upside with an injury. And so I spent $1 last week on Kevin Walter, and I got rewarded for it. Now, hey, I'm very sorry for the Andre Johnson owners. You guys, you take him in the first round. You expect him to be the monster that he is, and – well, it's just a terrible thing to happen. Hopefully he comes back in a couple weeks and you can plug in a Jacoby Jones or a Kevin Walter or something and you won't skip a beat. I know the Jamal Charles owners really got hurt because there's nobody really to step in and take that place. And you know, don't get it twisted. Nobody's going to step in and fill the void for Andre Johnson. It's going to be a mixed bag of age of Jacoby Jones, Walter, who's, you know, the tight end, Owen Daniels.
It's going to be Aaron Foster. That's who it's going to be.
Yeah, and Foster's back, so they're going to give him a heavy dose, right? So,
yeah, you know, that's the way I see it, Scott. You know, it's unfortunate for Andre Johnson owners, but, you know, if you're Aaron Foster owners and, you know, if this guy is right and if he's good to go, this guy can have a lot of fun come Sunday against Oakland. I mean, I've been looking at this game long and hard, and I just think he's just gonna explode.
347-324-5404 is the number. We're gonna have Sean Fritz from DraftZone on here in a little bit talking about the weekly challenge. But whoa, you know, the big story last week. I mean, obviously, you know, I talked about the Andre Johnson issue in the world of fantasy, but if we're going to talk pure NFL, Mike, I don't think there was a bigger story than the Lions beating the Cowboys. The Lions now 4-0, the Cowboys 2-2. Could be 4-0 without those two boneheaded plays by Romo.
Right.
Calvin Johnson with two touchdowns in each of his four games, Mike. Hello, he's got eight touchdowns in four games, Mike. This is the dude. This is why I wanted to take him number one. Do you remember when I said I had the one pick and I want to take Calvin? The only reason I didn't is because, well, number one, Ray Rice. Number two, I had the four pick in another league, FFPC, and I said, you know what, if I won't take him in both. I'll go ahead and get Ray Rice at one in that league, and then I'll come back with the four pick, and I'll take Calvin Johnson. And, wow, two touchdowns. He's unstoppable in the red zone. He just threw it up. You knew he was going to catch it. The other surprising thing about that game is how good Ndamukong Suh is. Man, this guy, he got so mad on the sidelines when he didn't get a call to go his way. He was very upset. And then the defense responded the very next play and picked Tony Romo off. Great game all around. Did you see the end of that game, how Felix went out of bounds right when he could have got out of bounds and at a first down and stopped the clock? It was –
yeah,
everybody
did that. And, you know, it was pretty lame effort by Dallas. The only way Dallas and Tony Romo are going to win games are when they're behind and when they're uncomfortable. You know, I said that last week and a couple weeks ago, and I'm going to say it again. When Tony Romo is comfortable with the lead, that's bad news for the Dallas Cowboys. When he is behind, when he's hurt or whatever, that's good news. As far as Detroit goes, man, I'm going to tell you what, this team is legit. This team is totally legit. They have a solid defense. You know, they mix the run and the pass. And I love the way Matt Stafford just says, here you go, Megatron. Go get it. Go get it. And, you know, they have a connection. And that means a lot. And, you know, especially with a young quarterback like Matt Stafford and Calvin, who's been in the league for, you know, a few years. You know, that's a special thing, and they're going to continue to improve on that. Honestly, Scott, it was a meltdown. It was a meltdown by Dallas, no doubt about it. But it wasn't a total meltdown because Detroit continues to do this week after week after week, and when will their time run out? I don't know.
All right, we've got look, this is the bye weeks. You have to survive through the bye weeks. There's going to be a lot of players that are going to be on your mind, and a lot of decisions you're going to have to make. You know, things like Denarius Moore or Eric Decker, maybe if you've got guys like that. You know, do you start LaDainian Tomlinson this week? You know, it's the bye weeks, and it's those decisions that can make or break your year. Do you put in a Preston Parker? Do you put in a David Nelson or a Donald Jones? What about a Victor Cruz? These are the guys that are going to make or break you this week. Let me get a caller here from the 937 real quick. 937, you're on the air.
Scotty and Mike, it's Rich. How are you guys doing?
What up, Rich?
Wait a minute, Richie. What's going on tonight, Rich?
I'm on the... I'm sorry, I'm on the sad train. We took Ryan Terrain because we thought he would be the backup to Hightower. We drafted him. We dropped him last week. And so we just feel bad. We just bid $524 to get him back and lost. So now we're hoping that Ryan Terrain sucks.
Well, who else do you have at running back, Rich?
Well, we have Hightower, and in a stroke of luck, we have Forte, who of course is number one, and we have a couple of other backups. But let me ask you guys this question: you guys have both played big time fantasy sports forever. How many times have you dropped a guy who didn't get a snap in 3 weeks and then turned out to be a big pickup? Tell me.
You know, it's a big pickup. Ryan Terrain is the darling of the fantasy world. I don't know what he went for in the leagues because I haven't gotten to see the waiver bids yet. But I'm guessing that he's going for at least the 300, 350 range.
Yeah, you know, Scott, he's been going for 350. I've seen him as high as 4 or 5. And, you know, I mean, that really sucks. Sit there and think that you've got Ryan Terrain, and then you drop him, and then you want to get him, and then next thing you know, he's scraped under you for 500 and change. But you also got to remember, I mean, 1 week, I'm such a believer in this one-week theory. You got guys that do things in 1 week. You got to remember, Mike Shanahan is the coach of Washington. Mike Shanahan does not like to have one guy do the load in the backfield. So, you know, you may have missed out on that, but maybe you didn't. We'll see in the coming weeks.
Yeah, Richie, you don't beat yourself up. You're a great drafter. You've always got a good, solid team. You know, you got to just shake it off, baby. Shake it off and not think about it. Ryan Terrain's not a fantasy beast. They're still going to use Helu in certain situations. I bet they still use Hightower in certain third down situations. It sounds like a crowded backfield to me. So, you know, nothing to get too upset about or too worked up about either. I'm going to put you on hold. Can you hang around for a little while, Richie?
Sure.
All right, hang around for just a minute. I'm going to go ahead and bring on our guest for the evening, Sean Fritz from DraftZone.com. Sean, welcome to Red vs. Blue, man. How are you?
What's up, Scott? How are you doing this evening, man?
Long time no talk to you, buddy. Good to hear from you. And, you know, I talked to you today, or we chatted online a little bit, and I said, man, we've got to talk about this this new challenge, the NFL FFPC main event challenge, the $50 satellite leagues. Talk about this idea, man. What's going on with it? It looks like a lot of fun. The salary cap format is a lot of fun on a week-to-week basis.
Well, it's definitely a lot of fun, but before I bring that up real quick, I would like to tell Rich that dropping Ryan Terrain, I think, will be a huge mistake in the Washington Redskin area. This guy, I mean, as you know, I'm a huge Redskins fan, and this guy can run better than the other two running backs by far, and he just fits that Mike Shanahan, you know, rushing offense. And I hate to say it, but I've had Hightower drop in a lot of leagues too, and I'm pretty upset about not having Terrain, so I know how he feels. But he just looks so much better than the rest of the guys.
How much did you bid on him this week? How much did you bid? You've got a good team in the main event.
I bid 385, and he went for 605.
Woo!
But I did go for my boy Preston Carlton. I think he's got a lot of good matchups against the Saints. He's going to play the Falcons. It's going to be high-scoring games. I mean, him being the slot, I think, you know, I was crossed on how much I want to get that guy, but I got him. I think he could be potential for a bye week replacement, but no.
So
but,
you did eyeball the waivers in right about, what, 915, 920 or so, and it was up?
Yeah, I did see Jacoby Jones is going for a lot, too. He went for like $500 or $600, too, which I was shocked, too.
Wow.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy to see all that stuff, but, you know. But more importantly, like what we were talking about before, is talking about this challenge that we got going over in the draft zone. And for the people that, you know, haven't seen this yet, brief explanation what's going on. We teamed up with the FFPC, and what we're doing here at DraftZone, we're giving away a free seat to the 2012 FFPC main event, a $1,600 value. And the way you get that seat is with only a $50 entry, which makes it real easy, you know, because I know when it comes time for us to pay for our team, and, you know, I guess the September, August time or July time, that $1,600 is not, you know, fun to spend. But when you're able to get that team for only $50, it makes it a little bit, you know, easier to make that happen.
I heard that – I saw that Arian Foster was a real buy low last week. Talk about the software. I mean, you really got to look through the entire league. You can't just go and pick your team. You got to look through the players, make sure there's value there. What's your approach to this thing? I mean, you built the thing, so what's the best approach here?
So how we did the salary cap. So you got to stay below a 60,000 person salary cap. And just a brief example of what the game is. You're going to put a $50 entry in, and you're going to compete against 39 other teams. And the team that has the highest points after this weekend's games will get a free seat, the $1,600 value, if they have the highest points of the 39 other teams. Now, with the salary cap, you have to stay below a $60,000 salary cap. You have to have a quarterback, two running backs, three wide receivers, tight end, kicker, and defense. And the goal was to find those players of value. And last week, Arian Foster was of value because he hadn't played this year. And how we do our calculations is based on how they've done the last three games at a certain rate and how they've done over the course of the season, and then just the player rankings that we currently have right now. So Arian Foster was, you know, he was out, and when he did play, he really didn't do much. So he was a really good value, but what's crazy is a lot of people didn't really pick him because he was going up against Pittsburgh, right? But the people that took him, they did very well, and they did very well in all the leagues and stuff like that. But it's about finding those people with that low value. Like, I mean, for example, like Isaac Redman, you know, Mendenhall's out. Is he that guy that's going to get you those points, you know, maybe 20 points or like a cheap offer, like $2,800? You know, and those are the key players you got to figure and plug in and figure out how to win this thing, because that's the only way you're going to do it, is getting value in players and then also keeping the players like Wes Walkers and Calvin Johnsons and utilizing those players that you know have been putting up consistent numbers.
Now, Wes Welker has the highest. Wes Welker and Calvin Johnson are the most expensive guys on the wide receiver spot this week. $10,000 it takes you, one-sixth of your salary, to take Welker and Calvin. What are your thoughts on Welker this week matching up against the Jets?
I think, you know, Revis is definitely, you know, he's not going to have the 10 catches he normally has. I think they're definitely have to zero in on him. Maybe it could open up Chad Ochocinco to finally have a good game. You know, that could be a decent sleeper if you think about it. Revis is going to be on Wes Walker. I mean, Wes Walker's killing everyone. And the rush defense is pretty good. So, I mean, like Chad Ochocinco is getting dropped in a lot of leagues right now. I mean, I'm not saying he's going to do anything this week, but he's definitely going to have the opportunity. That's for sure. With maybe Cromartie on Branch or something like that. But, yeah, I mean, Wes Walker, $10,000. I mean, you have to take him. And if you don't take him and he blows up, you're like, I knew I should have taken him. But I think 75% of the people that are playing back from now are probably going to take Wes Walker.
Well, Sean, this is Mike. You know, it's funny. We're talking about the wide receivers and the DBs taking care of everything else. Stephen Ridley had a pretty good game last week. Do you think that Ridley might be a value or any kind of value at all for somebody looking for something?
I mean, his salary is pretty low, so he could be a value. I mean, if you know, you're spending your money on the big-time wide receivers, getting a $10,000, and then going after, like, an Aaron Rodgers or, you know, like, a, you know, Aaron Rodgers is worth 12. So, you know, he's going to get you at least 4 touchdowns, you know, against Atlanta, a weak secondary. So, that Ridley pickup could be huge. You know, but what we do take into effect is the average of the last 3 games. So he did, you know, go for 97 yards and a touchdown last week. So his value is still going to be decent, but it's not going to be, you know, as good as I feel like is Isaac Redman, who's going to get probably a lot of touches and, you know, possibly some catches out of the backfield. But I don't know. I think Ridley's tough. It's a tough decision because if you look at Ray Rice last week, he got shut down, you know. I mean, he got like 30 carries, but he got shut down pretty well by the Jets defense.
What kind of noises?
That's got to be my man, Richie Rich, man. I got to tell you. Look, hey, Sean, I've got to figure out this whole quarterback thing here. I'm looking at the quarterbacks, and the top 3 quarterbacks are all tied at a $10,000 salary: Aaron Rodgers, Cam Newton, and Tom Brady. So you're basically evaluating those 3 quarterbacks all the same. But I look over at the running backs, and the running back value goes up to $12,000. What's going on there exactly? The running backs can be a little more expensive than guys like Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the thing is, like, ever since the day the fantasy started, the most important position is the running back position. I mean, and especially in the PPR type format, you want to get that running back going to make catches and score touchdowns, and we give that a lot of value. Plus, you only need, you know, you only need 2 running backs. But you know, with quarterbacks being at 4 points, I think, and only 25 yards, that's why we came to that $10,000 max salary cap. If it was worth 6 points and like 25 yards, of course, then it would be up to that $12,000. But running backs, you know, in a PPR, I think, situation, we value them a little bit more than most other positions. And I think that didn't really
go. For daily players, I'd like to, you know, just kind of throw this out there. You know, I've dealt with Draft Zone quite a bit, and it's always been a very good site. Do you guys just continue to do the daily thing, you know, I know it's kind of hard, but I mean, even with baseball or football, what kind of things do you guys offer?
Well, we actually, you know, it's crazy is that you would think football would be our biggest sport and, you know, our biggest, you know, amount of draft, but when it comes down to it, over the past couple of years, what has been our most successful sport has actually been NBA basketball. Because NBA basketball is on a daily basis, it's every day. You're going to be able to pick a new team, where football is based on just one weekend, that one Sunday and Monday, right? So football is by far, you know what, like 70% of the public when it comes to fantasy sports, 70% play football, and basketball is probably in like the 10% range. But when it comes to daily fantasy sports, basketball over the course of the season is going to generate more drafts than football will be, almost double. It's pretty crazy to think about that.
Yeah, and what's going to happen? How will you guys be able to combat the fact that, you know, let's face it, there's going to be no NBA season. So have you guys thought about what's going to happen in your guys' realm?
Yeah, we're thinking about that because NBA is definitely, you know, I mean, if we don't have NBA, it's going to be tough to, you know, keep things going the way it's going. So we actually are going to be coming out with college basketball this year, where we're going to take the top 25 teams, and you're going to be able to pick from the top 25 teams. So the way the stats are going to work, if there's like number one ranked team, number eight, or number 10 ranked team playing on that Tuesday night, you're going to be able to do a salary cap base or draft based on those teams that are in the top 25. It's going to be a lot like NBA. It's going to be exactly like NBA, but it's going to be based with college players in the top 25. So it'll be very interesting, especially for a lot of people that get into college basketball a lot.
Cool.
All right, Sean, I'm going to throw you my team out here. I just created it in all of about 5 minutes. It took me about 5 minutes while you sat there and talked. I created my team. Michael Vick, Adrian Peterson, Arian Foster, Roddy White, Hakeem Nicks, Marquez Colston back, fully healthy, they say. Vernon Davis will look like the value at tight end. Crosby and the G-Men against Seattle. What do you think, bud?
The Crosby, I don't see much value in spending money on defenses and kickers. I mean that team does sound pretty good, and anyone that has that fantasy team in a season long is probably, you know, first place right now. But I don't know. I mean, Michael Vick, anything can happen with that. You know, I think Aaron Rodgers is more of a safe bet. I mean, he's probably, what, $1,200 or $1,500 more. But you know what you're going to get out of Aaron Rodgers. You know what you're going to get out of, I don't know necessarily Tom Brady this week, but Aaron Rodgers is such a consistent quarterback. Even Matt Stafford. I mean, how can you not put Matt Stafford in front of Michael Vick right now with the way he has Calvin Johnson and stuff? But the Roddy White pickup is a very interesting pickup because think about what this guy's done this year. I mean, Julio Jones, I saw the stats the other day where Julio Jones was, I think, two catches less than Roy Williams.
Rod.
And I think, more than, I'm sorry, Roddy White. And he has more yards than Roddy White this year.
Yeah.
So do you continue to go to Roddy White? It's going to be a high-scoring game going against Green Bay. But you got Julio Jones, you got Tony Gonzalez having a great year, spectacularly. That's why we're probably doing well in the FFPC this year. And then you got Julio Jones, and you still got Harry, you know, Douglas down there. Still, Roddy White,
yeah.
He's a tough pitcher. I don't have him in the top 10 right now, but he is valued pretty well.
Yeah, I noticed that Roddy's salary was $7,900. Julio was right underneath him at $7,640. I mean, let's face it, they drafted, they paid a wide receiver one price for Julio Jones, and they have a wide receiver one. So they've got two wide receiver ones, but it's like a Harrison Wayne type combination. And the problem is I'm not getting any value with Julio, and I know what Roddy can do in front of the hometown crowd. So I was looking to do that, but then I'm paying the same price. So I'm going to expect Green Bay corners to make it a little more challenging for Julio than Roddy.
Well, let me ask you a question. So let's say you take the kicker down because Mason Crosby is definitely not one of the cheapest kickers. Let's say you go with the Lawrence Tynes. That's one of the cheapest down, you know, at Giants at home. Then you get rid of Roddy and you put a Calvin Johnson in. Or Calvin Johnson, you know, about to do a fifth-grade game with two touchdowns. I mean, would you rather have Lawrence Tynes, Calvin Johnson, or Roddy White and Mason Crosby?
And that's the gap.
Yeah, let's do that. Jay Feely saves me a little bit. I'll go down to Jay Feely, one of the bottom kickers here. That gives me an extra $19.30 to spend. I can click off of, Colston here. But I'm kind of valuing. I'm buying Colston low at $2,300. Yeah. So that's what's making this team work right now. I back off that. I got $98.30. So I can't get Calvin, but I could get Greg Jennings.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I mean, if you go cheaper than Feely, I mean, the kicker's cheap, even cheaper than Feely. I mean, who knows what Feely's going to do this week. And I think with the Giants playing Seattle at home, they're going to have a lot of scoring opportunities. I think Times could possibly get the 3 field goals. And then if you drop down to Times, then you're going to be able to pick up Calvin Johnson, which everyone knows in the fantasy, you know, world is like probably the most secure bet this week.
All right. You know what? You talked me into it. I'll go ahead and take Times. He should have a good week this week. I'll upgrade Roddy. I'll upgrade. It might not be an upgrade, though. Roddy at home against the Packers, that might – not be somebody you want to get rid of in the lineup, you know. We'll look back on this conversation and watch Roddy score 10 for 150 and 2, you know.
But who's your third receiver? I forgot who your third receiver was.
It was Nix, Roddy, and Colston. That's what it was. So
That's pretty good. I mean, Nix, that's a great matchup too. But, I mean, that's what it's all about, you know, playing the salary cap of drafts and just trying to figure out that team. You know, you're going to compete against three other people in a fantasy. You know, it's all about testing your fantasy skills. And if you can beat those 39 other people, well, you got yourself a chance to win $200,000 next year in FFPC, and that's what it's all about. And that's why we're doing this game, you know, because, you know, the FFPC had a very successful year this year so far. I think they got 720 teams, and I'm sure they're going to get a lot more. And by having these contests, it's only going to keep going more and more up, and it's going to give people the opportunity to keep playing what they want to play. I mean, you have three different times you can draft when you play in the main event. So even if you win this week, the prize, you still have an opportunity to win it next week, too, and the week after. So that's the nice thing about it, and that's just three more chances you have of winning that $200,000.
Sean Fritch from DraftZone.com is our guest. We apologize about the cell connections tonight. Hopefully you can make out what the action here that we're bringing on week five. Steve Johnson is an interesting play this week, Sean. He cost $7,920 of the $60,000 cap, but he's matched up against Nnamdi Asamoah very likely, and it should be a very fun matchup. I mean, the Bills, an up-and-coming team against the Dream Team. What do you make of this game?
Oh, that's a tough game. I mean, I think I like the Fred Jackson in that game. I think Fred Jackson's a play. I think Stevie Johnson's not going to do much. Maybe possibly David Nelson could be a good pickup. But I really like Fred Jackson. I mean, I saw what Frank Gore did to the Eagles last week, and they couldn't stop a guy that was only at 80%. So Fred Jackson has been probably the top five fantasy running backs this year, and the reason why we're, you know, doing what we are doing too is based on that. You know, I don't think they're going to be able to stop Fred Jackson.
You know what? I think in that game particularly, Sean, I really believe that Buffalo is going to have to they're going to have to come from behind again, and can they catch up? You know, I don't know, but I think David Nelson is a very, very good, start for them. You know, I've got him plugged in a couple leagues because I mean, like I said, they're going to be coming from behind, and he just might be the good fit.
I mean, I agree with you. I mean, if you look at San Francisco games last year, I mean, last week, I mean, Josh Morgan had one touchdown. Other than that, you know, there wasn't really too many offensive weapons on the receiving, and that really did anything. All they kept doing is they kept going back to the ground game, and Frank Gore, you know, led them back along with their defense. So I'm just, I mean, you have probably the top three secondary in the NFL and the Eagles. And when the Eagles are going to, you know, obviously – they're probably going to jump out to the big league with the offense they have. And if Buffalo's going to come back, I don't think they're going to come back through the pass game. I think they're going to have to do dump offs to Fred Jackson and do draws to Fred Jackson. And I think they could have a
And another thing is the Eagles, I talked to a good buddy of mine today. He's a big Philadelphia Eagle fan, and he says we have no linebackers. And he said the problem about our team, we have no linebackers and no offensive line. So him telling me that they have no linebackers, that, you know, that tells me that you know, there's going to be a lot of things open 10 to 15 yards from the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, but then you're talking about Stevie Johnson and who's going to be covering him. It's not going to be a linebacker, I can tell you that right now. We all know who's going to be covering Stevie Johnson. So
yeah.
Just think about that when you're trying to start that guy. He's going to be shattered by a certain someone that everyone knows about.
True.
So, I mean, that's why I think, like, David Nelson could be, you know, a very good pickup this week. I mean, I actually would prefer David Nelson over Stevie Johnson this week.
I tend to agree with you, Sean. The Bills' wide receiver situation is very interesting because of, number one, the Ryan Fitzpatrick does air it out. The offense has evolved. They are putting up points. They're exciting to watch. And the thing that affects the Bills players this week, it's the bye week. So you might have to start a Bills wide receiver this week. Like you said, David Nelson, maybe Donald Jones. And when trying to pick that apart, I like to go back and look at the snap counts. And snap counts are one of the stats that we talked about all last year. They're becoming a little bit more mainstream in the world of high-stakes fantasy players. Let me run them past you real quick. Steve Johnson, Donald Jones, and David Nelson each played between 52 and 55 snaps in week four. And interestingly enough, each of them, all three, exactly ran 35 pass routes. Each of them got 35 pass routes, the exact same amount. So it's funny how they're using them. There's not a real one, two, or three. Now, Johnson may be more talented, and I think he is. But the other two guys are right there. That's why they didn't go out and get anybody. They were happy with their team. They didn't come out and improve the position. They knew what they had, and we're just now being exposed to them. So I wouldn't mind starting Nelson or Jones this week because they're going to have to put up some points to beat the Eagles. We know that. And I think, like you, Sean, Steve Johnson is going to be covered by Nandy. There's not going to be a lot there. And Fitzpatrick, there's no reason really for him to test the waters when he's got very capable wide receivers out here in Nelson and Jones.
No. I mean, I completely agree. I mean, I completely agree with you, but I really just feel that Fred Jackson is the key to that offense right now. I mean, Fitzpatrick's having a great season. I mean, he's throwing for a lot of touchdowns. He's not throwing for a lot of yards. He's throwing for a lot of touchdowns. But the defenses are being, you know, kept honest on the run. I mean, you look and you see how the Patriots came back. Of course, there's a couple of fluke plays, but there's a couple of dump-offs to Fred Jackson, a couple of options, and, you know, a couple of runs that he made to put them back in that game. And I feel with the Eagles, I mean, if Buffalo is smart, they have to go with that run game. I mean, you saw what Frank Gore did to him last week, and he wasn't even 100%. But I agree. I mean, so you guys are thinking they're going to be down pretty big, or you guys – I mean, I guess that's probably what everyone's thinking right now.
It's anybody's guess. I don't know what's going on anymore. Detroit's 4-0. The Niners look good. Houston looks great. The Bills don't look bad. I mean, this is the craziest NFL season I've ever seen, and I can only attribute it to the fact that we almost lost the NFL, and the players have something to play for now. It's not just a job. It's playing for the sport and the hobby we all love, and they almost lost it. And I think you're just seeing the offensive explosion, players really just laying it all out on the field, and they're going after it. And you know, the points are showing it in the world of fantasy football. We're seeing it. We haven't seen a slowdown, really. We had one week that was a little down, but everything, scoring is up across the board. Quarterbacks are going crazy. You can't hit the quarterbacks anymore. The game's changing, so,
you know. Scott, I hate to interject, but that's exactly where I was going with that. You know, the scoring is crazy because the rules have changed. The NFL rules have changed because the DBs, the cornerbacks, they can't do exactly what they want to do. They're so scared right now because if I do this, then I get fined. If I do that, I'll get fined. And, you know, I hate to see that.
Sean, I asked this question in the chat room. I'm going to ask you since you're here. Serious question.
Yeah.
Who's the best tight end in the league, in the National Football League right now? Fantasy scoring tight end. Who's the best tight end?
PPR or not PPR?
Yeah, I mean, we're all PPR now, right? So let's. Who's the best? You've got so many that you could make a case or an argument for right now. It's just it's really ridiculous.
I mean, it's a tough question there. I mean, if Aaron Hernandez or Gronkowski were on the same team, it could possibly be one of those guys. You see Tony Gonzalez putting up top five stats. I mean, but I'm thinking what it comes down to. I mean, if I'm drafting and I'm trying to pick the number one tight end for each week at this point in stage, I mean, I think you have to go with what's your safest bet, and that's Jason Witten, unfortunately, me being a Redskins fan. But this guy's going to get you 7 or 8 catches every week. It might be 70 yards, it might be 100 yards, and if he doesn't get you 7 or 8 catches, he's going to get you 5 with a touchdown. Him and Romo are just like best friends, and he's going to get at least 10 targets a game. I mean, I know Gates is not healthy right now, and Finley can go up for 3 touchdowns, but he can also you go 2 catches for 28 yards at the same time because there's so many weapons there. So then you see what Jimmy Graham did last week. Now you got a healthy Colston. I mean, so when it comes to consistency and making sure you get it like 15 to 20 points a week, you know, all day long, I'm going to take Jason Witten.
Yeah, I can see that. And when you threw up, I was waiting for you to drop the name of Jimmy Graham, Sean, because Jimmy Graham has been, this guy has been solid. But, you know, consistency, I can see Jason Witten, but, you know, I can also see Jimmy Graham. And, you know, it's hard to believe with the New England tight ends and there's a lot of tight ends out there. But throughout the course of the year, I think when we come to week 11 and 12, and when we look back on it, it's going to be Jason Witten and Jimmy Graham.
Yeah. But this is the thing you got to think about is Finley is going to be right there with him because he will have 1 week where he'll just have 2 touchdowns and like 8 catches. Like, you know, Aaron Rodgers has so many weapons, and depending on the defense and the type of defense, you know, that they're going against, I mean, if they're good against the tight ends, well, the receivers are going to get a lot of catches. If they're good against wide receivers, then their tight end are going to get a lot of catches. And that's when you saw Finley, you know, 2 weeks ago for those 3 touchdowns. I mean, Aaron Rodgers is so good he can put the ball wherever he wants. It's like whoever buys Aaron Rodgers lunch that week is a person that gets 2 touchdowns and then 10 catches, it seems like. He can just go to anyone. So that's why, you know, if you're asking me on who I would want, because, I mean, if you're asking me total points, like I'd go Finley, I'd go Jimmy Graham, and I'd go Witten. But if I would want someone that's consistent on my team every week that I know is going to get me 10 to 20 points guaranteed, Jason Witten will do that. And you might not lose a draft zone game, or you might not lose another game because Jeremichael Finley last week might only had 3 catches for 30-something yards, where Witten still had, you know, his touchdown and still got you 15, 20 points.
You're going to do it every week.
Yep. And that's the thing is you got to do that, and you got to look for those sleepers like Arian Foster last week. And, you know, like let's say Redmond's below 3,000 this week. You roll with them. I mean, if Mendenhall doesn't start, you're going to get the Titans. Titans got a pretty good rush D. But, you know, they don't have a lot, so I think they're going to be, you know, passing, or they're obviously not going to be able to run. So you can see a lot of dump off to Redmond in the backfield. I could see him with 4 or 5 receptions, and you're going to guarantee yourself 10 to, you know, 20 points with a guy with that low of value. So it's what it comes down to is there's a way to make a lot of money in this industry when it comes to fantasy sports. And if you understand like the value of certain players and how to use them and understand, you know, who is consistent and who does these things. We have this guy on our site that won like $3,000 or $4,000 last week. And I'm just sitting here like, wow, I wish I was as smart as this guy. Like, there's ways. I mean, you know, like, there's people out there. There's like 5 or 6 people out there in the daily, weekly fantasy sports industry right now that are making a lot of money doing this. And they are somehow know what they're doing. And it's all about this value that I'm talking about. It's all about making sure. I think they probably have computer programs telling them, okay, you have to have these players. Okay, and these players are value. You know, I mean – And that's what it comes down to. I mean, all
it could
value
be you, Mikey. It could be you. You got to get in here. I've already got my squad in. It's locked in. My value pick is Marquez Colston. I don't mind sharing it. That's my guy this week. I'm at 23-20. You can't get much cheaper than that. That's cheaper than the cheapest kicker, man. Sean, come on. Colston finally.
Yeah, we need to fix that. You're right about that. I need to start going through this a little bit more. And looking down at that 2300 area, because Marcus Colston definitely shouldn't be there.
Gronkowski leads the league with 5 touchdowns. Tony Gonzalez, second, tied for second with 4. the only other tight end that has four touchdowns. Can you name him? Anybody?
Tony Gonzalez.
6'7", Scott Chandler.
Four touchdowns. Buffalo, the Bills.
Four touchdowns, averaging 24 yards a game, man. He's a tough. Sean, thanks for being on Red vs. Blue, man. We're real excited about the weekly challenge with Draftzone and FFPC, and I see your name up there. Keep doing what you're doing in the main event.
Yeah, I've got to keep getting lucky, man. I hope this Preston Parker pickup works out for me, and I also went ahead and put a little bit of cash on Jaquez Rogers. I just have a feeling, you know, Atlanta could be down a lot this year, and I think he's going to be there in a lot of third downs, get a little dump off. I think you get that 12, 15 points that you need when you have players on bye, especially during these weeks 5 through 10 or 12. So
I like it. I like it. Players on bye. Players on bye and injuries. Jaquez Rogers, Sean Fritz dropping the fantasy knowledge on you guys. We'll see you soon, Sean. Take care, bud.
All right, bud. Take it easy.
Sean.
Hey, man, I love this website, man, just getting it in, putting the lineup in, and then thinking that, man, this might pay for my my season next year right here, pays for my main event squad. I don't know, does it pay for events fees too? Alex is in the chat room. I don't know. Maybe it pays for events fees too. But, yeah, Vic Peterson Foster. I've changed it to Macklin, Nix, and Colston. I figure if I'm going to go Vic, I need to go with his – dynamic duo, whether it be DeSean Jackson or Macklin. And I went ahead and decided with Macklin. So Vic Peterson Foster, Macklin, Nix, Colston, Finley at tight end. Upgraded Vernon Davis to Finley because if I think about the best tight end in the league, Mike, I think it's your Michael Finley, Lawrence Tynes, and then the G-men. So that's my squad. Let's move on. We got 10 minutes left in the show, Mike. We talked about the Lions and the Cowboys. Rodgers kept rolling. You know, there's not a lot to do there. We saw the Ravens absolutely whip the Jets. 5 total defensive special team touchdowns in that game. That was absolutely crazy. What do the Jets have to do to win this game against the Patriots, Mike? It's the biggest game of the week. They went up there to Foxborough last year in the playoffs, whipped them good, came in with the victory. But what do they have to do now against this Tom Brady team with these tight ends and just all these points being scored?
You know, it's funny, Scott, because that was one of the questions that I wrote down on my list was who to start, LT or Sean Green. And I've been scouring over it for the last couple of days, and you know, I believe, and I can't believe I'm saying this, but I believe Sean Green is a play. I think that what New York has to do and what New England will allow them to do is get 3, 4, 5 yards at a time. And that will get Sanchez comfortable. And, you know, let's face it, New York has had their number the last couple games, and, you know, it would not surprise me at all. I mean, this game is New England's a big favorite, but it wouldn't surprise me at all to see New York to stay right in this game by the run game. And I mean by using Sean Green.
Let's bring in our boy Richie Rich here and ask him the same question. Sean Green or LaDainian Thompson? I'm almost siding with LT in this game because he's the one that did it last year against the Patriots in the playoffs, and he's got that. He's still got the speed. LT still got the wheels, man.
Hey, Scotty. Sean Green has shown nothing this season. Nothing.
Exactly.
Nothing, and I say that in a bitter way because you and I have a team together where we drafted him. So
we did.
I say nothing with a capital N. He's done nothing. But let's face it, the team itself has been subpar. And, you know, from year to year in the NFL, no one knows when the team itself, Mangold got hurt, their offensive line has been completely hapless, and so you can't blame it all on Sean Green. I'm saying he's done nothing production-wise. It doesn't mean he isn't a good player. None of us really know, right? He doesn't have a good offensive line. It's all been bad. So who, At this point, who thinks they can predict what the Jets will do on the ground? You know, now there's talk that McKnight will get a few carries, ha, 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 and everybody else. But who knows what will happen there? I think that's impossible to predict.
I think what we are going to see, what we know we're going to see, is a lot of Mark Sanchez in the passing game. Anytime you're playing the Patriots, let's face it, they allow just a ton of points. They surrender the third most fantasy points to quarterbacks in the league. And it's a we're going to score and you got to catch it type philosophy. And so I think that while Rex Ryan is saying we're going to get back to ground and pound, that's not what you can do against the Patriots. If you remember last year, they had to throw the ball. Sanchez had three touchdowns in that game against the Patriots. So you've got to throw the ball to beat the Patriots. That's period, point blank. Fitzpatrick had to throw the ball to beat them. So I think we'll see a lot more of that. And for LT, look, I think he's still a sleeper. He faces the Pats. They've given up the seventh most fantasy points to running backs. And Tomlinson, not Sean Green, leads all the backs in fantasy points this year for the Jets. So, Mike, I don't know. I've got Sean Green. So, again, like Richie said, I'm a little biased. But I tell you what, if I had them both and I could make that choice in a PPR league, I take LaDainian Tomlinson.
Okay. Well, that kind of settles my mind. I want to say something else on a sidebar. So I'm still going to stick with Sean Green, but Blood, Sweat, and Beers. Who is Blood, Sweat, and Beers? Is that John Lazakowski?
I don't know what you're talking about, dude.
Blood, Sweat, and Beers. He's known. I think it was John Lazakowski. He was on the Jim Rome show today, or 2 days ago, and it was talking about fantasy football guy. It was a pretty cool interview. And
Richie, I didn't even talk to you. Did you hear the interview that Brett Favre gave in the 5 minute conversation? He threw about 15 backhanded compliments at Aaron Rodgers, dude. Did you hear that crap? That was
yep.
all crap, man.
Well, okay. Look, as a Packer fan, two statements here. A, I think any serious Packer fans, Brett Favre is the most exciting player that's existed in my lifetime. I'm 50-ish, so I didn't see some of the guys before that. But all he said was, hey, we had a great team already. I already knew that we had talent. And he's great. He won the Super Bowl. I'm surprised he didn't win it sooner. The only people that are making that a backhanded comment are the people who just don't like Favre. Otherwise, who cares? Who cares? Of course he said, I thought he could win it sooner. What's the big deal?
Well, I think you're going to have to go back to the transcript, buddy, and we're going to have to pick that apart together later, maybe tomorrow. Mikey, did you watch the G-Men beat the Cars on that Cruz fumble? You saw Cruz fumble the ball. He got up. He was not touched, and the refs called it, man. You know, you never know what that kind of a loss for the Cardinals will end up costing them. That could cost them a playoff chance, you know. He gets up. He's never been touched. Mike, if he had not been touched and he got up and ran with the ball, he would get to go into the end zone and score a touchdown, right? But the refs call it dead.
Was a whistle blown? Ed Hockley, he did that 3-4 years ago. He made a mistake. He blew the whistle, and he shouldn't have. In this case, it was a live ball.
Yeah.
Oh, Mike, come on. Even I agree with you about none of us know whether the whistle blew. However, the argument I heard from all the big NFL shows was, did he fall down or did he go down? What difference does it make? If you watch the video, he went down, and then he got up, and he tossed the ball.
Is this college or the NFL?
This is great radio. Red versus blue, baby.
You've been listening to Red vs. Blue Sports Talk Radio, where Planet Red and Big Blue Nation collide, with your hosts, Scott Atkin and Michael Trent. Please join us next time.